chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the motto of the Petaloomies. Out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in the North Bay and beyond. Good evening, it's Michelle Anna Jordan. Hope you've been having a great weekend. Get out for some of the Art at the Source studio and gallery visits. Hit a farmer's market or two, perhaps. It was a great day at the farmer's market in Sebastopol. It always is. Even in the pounding rain, it's a wonderful day at the Sebastopol Farmers Market. And it was there that I ran into my friend, Nick Davarin, who I didn't know if we'd be seeing him at the Farmers Market anymore, because he has now opened a storefront for his fabulous spices and spice blends under the name Local Spicery. It's located in Tiburon, and Nick said, sure, I'll come on, and I've got to pull the microphone over so we can say hi. Welcome to Mouthful.
Thanks, Michelle. It's good to be here.
It's great to see you. I was so pleased when I saw you today. And I should say, we had a guest scheduled, and it was an interesting mix-up. It's a farmer. We will definitely have the farmer on in a few weeks. But when I said, 6 o'clock, it never occurred to me that he was going to think it was 6 a.m., but he did, and so he's not available this evening in probably about 3 weeks. It's from the Old Cedar Farm, S-E-E-D-E-R. They are the recipients of the second of the two Nancy Skahl Middleton Farm Scholarships. Money that we raised at a little memorial for Nancy Skahl at the Sebastopol Farmers Market. So you heard, I think 2 weeks ago, we talked with Caitlin Heckmeyer, who was the first recipient. She has Red H Farm, and the things that the money is going to allow her to do. And then we'll be hearing about the things that the scholarship to this other new farm, newish farm, what they'll be able to do. And it's just so great to see this young farming community. It's really inspiring. But spices are inspiring, too. And that's what we're going to talk about. So, you opened the store, a month ago?
Just about, yeah.
A little closer to the mic.
Okay.
There we go. And you are in downtown Tiburon, where another friend, Jerry Horn, just opened Tiburon Wine Shop,
Yeah, he's just two doors down.
Yeah. So, There's always reasons to visit Tiburon just because it's so beautiful. You know, it's and really gorgeous.
There's a lot of new food focused businesses coming mm-hmm. in right on. In fact, we're on Main Street on the section called Arc Row, and mm-hmm. and Jerry's moved in there. And at the same time that we opened up a small cafe run by the same people that run Luna Blue. Renzo's the chef uh-huh. has a authentic Italian style. Cafe. There's mm-hmm. a lot going on in Tiburon now.
Yeah, it is. It's a great place. So tell us about the shop. But actually, let's go back a little bit before you tell us about the shop. You were milling your own spices at your mill mm-hmm. in Novato, right?
Right.
Now, are you still doing that? And then,
absolutely.
Or have you moved everything to Tiburon?
No. What we have going in Novato is a fully permitted facility. We do all the production milling. We have we have three different mills set up that we run for different granularity, and we do all the blending and everything right there in house. So
okay.
That's probably not going to move for a
okay,
while.
Okay. Yeah. And then it's the storefront.
Yeah.
So you often have to be in two places at once. How do you manage that?
it's been the way it's always been. You know, one thing new is just about 2 months ago, I finally stepped down from my day gig, and now I'm full-time.
Oh, you also had a day gig?
No, not anymore, yeah.
What were you doing?
I was in marketing for an engineering company.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations on that.
it was a big step. You took close your eyes, take a deep breath, and, mm-hmm. and jump in.
Sure. But
the concept for us always has been to have our own retail location or locations. Mm-hmm. I think we
it looked for a while like we might have you in Healdsburg, but
that fell through. But we're already looking for our second place, and we're thinking maybe Petaluma downtown.
There's always Sebastopol. Actually, I know a location. I know a fabulous location in Sebastopol.
We'll talk.
We will. I see this. It's been empty several times over the last few years. I keep thinking there's a food business that's going to go in there. It's perfect. So,
okay.
Yes,
we'll
we
talk.
Will talk.
Yeah, I love Sebastopol.
When did you start Local Spicery?
It's been about 3 years.
Okay.
And, you know, the whole idea behind the rollout of the business was to start with the product, and not to jump in with, you know, big splashy retail until we'd had the time to get the production together so that we could produce very, very high quality. And it's a very complex endeavor. We have well over 200 products and blends that we create, and you know we're not just packaging repackaging. It's mm-hmm. We produce everything. We're doing all the
now, when you say you produce, you're not obviously, but some people don't know this. You're not growing the spices,
no.
Because most what of true spices come from the tropics, right?
Right.
Yes, and there's wisdom in that. I mean, wisdom. You know, the wisdom of the earth.
Yeah, and well, actually, we looked into it once. Buying fresh herbs produced in grown in California,
right, herbs,
and getting them. Actually, freeze-dried herbs are very interesting for cooking. I don't know if you've ever used them.
I have used them. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm going to guess that there have been a lot of improvements in quality since I last. I remember experimenting with some freeze-dried chives a long time ago, and they were horrible.
Oh.
But I'm sure that's changed. But the spices we can't produce here,
no,
because it's I don't know if it's the same with all, but with pepper, for example, peppercorns, they have to be grown. They thrive within 15 degrees of the equator.
Exactly.
So how do you source things? And do you? I imagine that you source from several different purveyors.
Oh yeah, we. We have a few very large vendors that we work with that provide a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. We try to get as close to the source as we possibly mm-hmm. can. In some cases, we're buying directly from farmers.
Oh, great!
We're now importing our own Piment de Splet.
You are great.
Yeah.
Piment de Splet. It's that from that little region in southwestern France.
Mm-hmm.
They have a festival every year. I've always wanted to go.
You got
to
go.
And I have, that is something I have in my pantry. I have an enormous jar. I mean, I have, yeah, to have a maybe even a quart.
Wow.
And it was a gift.
Okay.
It was a very special gift.
Well, my wife and I flew to France last November, and part of it was to finalize the deal with one of the few farmers in the Esplette region that's growing their Piedmont Esplette mm-hmm. biologique, so it's mm-hmm. It's organic.
Great.
We feel really good about it. And then, the other one, we're very, very close to the source. Our vanilla comes from a local purveyor, someone you might want to get on here at some point. They're an Oakland-based company. It's run by the two partners I know of are two brothers, mm-hmm. One who lives in Madagascar, the other lives here in Oakland.
Oh, wonderful.
And they work directly with the vanilla farmers. They, in many cases, bypass the co-ops and go right, and they get higher quality product. They pay 30-40% more for the product, mm-hmm. Just to help support the communities. They actually just did a big Kickstart campaign that was fully funded, and they're going for their fair trade certification.
Oh,
and they're
going
to get
fabulous.
Several of the farmers certified for organic,
cause, uh-huh.
as all of the vanilla's grown organically. It's just the very few farmers that can afford to get the certification.
Sure. Sure. That's really great news, and I would love to have them on the show. What about saffron? And I ask you this for a specific reason, which I'll tell you after you answer.
So, again, our saffron, we get it directly from a man in San Francisco who imports it himself.
From
Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. The saffron that we get from him, it is the Persian cultivar, so the mm-hmm. seeds come from Persia, mm-hmm. from Iran, and they're mm-hmm. grown in Afghanistan. It was part of the product to try to get Afghanistan farmers off of poppy and into
right.
Better,
yeah. yeah, get into yeah. the into saffron business instead of heroin.
Yeah, and he gets extremely high quality saffron. Saffron is one of the, I think it's the only spice that's rated by the ISO. International Standards Organization, mm-hmm. rated in three areas, and ours is rated number one, the highest score possible.
Oh, that's
in all three.
Great.
Yeah.
The reason I ask is I was on my way maybe to New York. To New York last fall, and I was at the airport early searching for a plug for my Mac Air, and I found one. I'm sitting on the floor, and there's this guy, and we started talking. And it turns out I know his mother. His mother has a farm here, and he travels a lot. But he connected with a farming organization, either in Afghanistan or Iran, and he is working with his ex-wife, who is living here, I think, in Petaluma. And I've been meaning to have him on the show. I just have to find his number. But he said that it was sort of accidental that he came across this amazing saffron.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when I get some, I'll give you some, and tell me what you think.
Yeah.
So do you have, are there any spices that are really hard to get?
Well, for us, first of all, for us, we make a commitment. One of the main reasons we started this business, and I said it all starts with the product. We wanted to bring the highest quality product. We wanted to bring only product that has not been irradiated, has not been treated with mm-hmm. ethylene oxide. That in and of itself is really hard to do.
Yeah, and we should tell people a little bit about the ethylene oxide. It's used for sterilization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both are sterilization methods, but. I guess before we get into what ethylene oxide is, I'll give you an answer. I just recently, in our store, a gentleman challenged me about why we don't do radiation and what's so bad about radiation. And it was obvious from the way he asked it. He had a scientific background that mm-hmm. included some specific knowledge in radiation that I couldn't hope to challenge. Mm-hmm. But what I told him is the problem is that we allow farmers and producers to treat their food as if it's not food, and then if they sterilize it at the end and can get a test to show that it has no pathogens, we'll say it's okay to eat. And my position is, why don't we just treat food like food?
Yeah, and one of the things that irradiation and ethylene oxide can't do anything about is when you have pathogens in there, E. coli, salmonella, and anything else, it breaks down the flavor.
Right.
And so, we've talked about this before because I'm kind of a fanatic about black pepper. And once you've had black pepper that has all of its melody notes, it's like the world changes.
Yeah.
And it's very hard. It's gotten very hard to get. Impossible. I have to go to Japan, Taiwan, or Korea to get some, or yeah. find somebody who can send it to me.
And you and I have a shared love for good black pepper.
Good black pepper, yes. So that issue of just, yeah, not treating things like food and then making them safe
yeah.
rather than letting them blossom with their full quality.
Yeah. To me, it's a lot like people that want us to be tertiary treating wastewater and then drink it as fresh water. I mean, you can do anything you want with it. If at the end you can prove that it's sterilized, it's okay. But like I said, why don't we just treat our food like food and be real about it?
A good idea. We're going to take a little musical break, and we're going to come back and talk about the tree that produces two spices. Cinnamon Girl, and we will get to cinnamon, but first, the tree with two spices, nutmeg. Mm-hmm. Tell me about getting nutmeg and mace, and I'm always curious. Is mace very popular?
Yes, and I mean, okay. For me, it's very popular.
Sure.
We use it in a lot of our blends.
Blends, okay.
But in terms of something that people purchase off the shelf, it's not, no.
Okay, yeah, and I just realized I'm out of mace. I've got to get some. If you go online, you can see a picture. If you just Google nutmeg and mace and hit images, then you can see it. Do you want to describe it? Do you want me to describe it?
I'd love to hear you describe it.
Okay, because
it's beautiful.
Yeah, you've seen whole nutmeg, and these days it's so easy, I think, to get whole nutmeg that you don't at home for home cooks. If you only want nutmeg rather than making a blend, you don't need to buy it ground anymore.
Right.
I use actually a ginger grater it's a nutmeg grater. I always like grate mine and get blood in it. And you can also buy Zazenhaus makes a nice nutmeg grater that you just insert the nutmeg in, and it has so much beautiful flavor. And I think that a lot of people are used to nutmeg in eggnog. Mm-hmm. pumpkin pie, maybe apple pie, that sort of thing. I like nutmeg in a savory context. One of my favorite, I have no time to cook and I'm hungry. I have no time to go to the store. I'll cook pasta if I have really good olive oil. Pasta, olive oil, lots of black pepper, and fresh grated nutmeg. And it's fabulous. But then for the mace, nutmeg, when it dries, I guess, it's got this web around it that I've seen it in, ranging from deep gold to red. Mm-hmm. And it just looks like this weird outer space enclosure that has encased the little nutmeg. And it's that part that is dried and ground mm-hmm. for mace, right?
Yep.
Now, when you get your mace, what form do you get your mace in?
We get it in mace blades.
They're called blades.
They're called blades. We get the full blade. And we, like everything, we mill it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I totally agree with you about fresh ground nutmeg. Once you've tried it, you'll never go back.
Yeah.
That was, you know, for us, you know, the two gateway drugs that got us into really loving freshly milled spices. The first, of course, was black pepper, and the second was nutmeg. And when we got the nutmeg grinder that we sell and that we had back then, we still have, is made by Marlux. It's a French company just outside
great.
Of Paris.
Okay, great.
And also, it's another very – Sassenhaus is a great uh-huh. shop. They make great stuff as well.
But I'd like to say, at the time I got mine, they were the only ones around. Yeah. It was 20 years ago, so if there's other option, that's great.
Peugeot makes a good one, too.
I love Peugeot. Peugeot is my favorite pepper grinder. It's a bitch to fill. I use I have to use a pliers. I use crab cracker mm-hmm. to take the screw off the top, and you know I'm often spilling peppers and everything, but it makes the best grind.
Yeah.
I just love the grind that the Peugeot makes.
Yeah, it makes a lot of difference to have a good meal.
Yeah, total. How many do you have at home?
At home, well, we have the nutmeg grinder. Mm-hmm. We use a Sassenhaus pepper grinder. I have a small Sassenhaus box grinder that we keep by the stove that'll mill anything. Just throw it in and it mills almost any spice down into a small drawer.
Sure, I had a Sassenhaus coffee grinder like that.
Yeah, well, and then we have another one that's like the Sassenhaus. It's brand new. We haven't used it yet. Was a gift. Peugeot's remaking the box grinders now.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, and they've branded them under Olivier Rollinger's name.
Oh, cool.
And his spice shops.
Oh, I'm going to have to save my money for a few weeks before I come down to the shop. And I should say, we were talking about local spicery. You see them sometimes at local farmers markets, but there is now a shop on Arc Row, that's right.
Main Street,
Arc Row.
Tiburon.
In Tiburon. So when you... How do you grind when you're making your blends? And we'll talk about your signature blends in a bit. How do you grind the nutmeg?
So nutmeg is one of like three spices we don't grind.
Okay.
And the reason why is nutmeg is one of those spices that it's got the combination of it's really woody and it's super, super oily. Mm-hmm. And you need a very, very specialized kind of equipment to mill that. I've tried running it through our hammer mill and it'll clog the screens really? In a second.
Oh, so do you use it in blends at all?
We do.
So how do you deal with it?
Well, actually, the nutmeg we do purchase it that milled. Mm-hmm. I can only feel a little better about it because it is certified organic, and mm-hmm. I know that the whole process has been verified all the way. But
and you're not going to sit there for a day and a half
no,
grinding by hand?
No, but you know, people that come into the store or talk to us at the markets, I will always tell them that you really want to do this fresh ground, fresh, mm-hmm. fresh grated.
So now there are some things. Oh, wait, cinnamon. Let's do cinnamon next. Talk about cinnamon. There's tons on the market now.
Well, there's so much to say about cinnamon,
yeah, there's
too.
And there's all these different... There's cassia. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see all these different options. How do people sort it out?
So the main distinction is between the Cinnamomum veritas and the Cinnamomum cassia.
Mm-hmm.
And the cassia is the cinnamon that we're all most familiar with. The Cinnamomum veritas is the true cinnamon. Some people know it as Mexican cinnamon. Or Ceylon cinnamon. It's a much softer quill. It's mm-hmm. multi-layered. You know, if you had a Ceylon cinnamon quill in your hand, you could break it. You couldn't do the same thing with cassia because they're so hard.
And then what about the little things, the little chunks of cinnamon just, that you see?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's just the quills broken down to a tea cut. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because they look, I don't know, they just look weird.
And when you buy them that way, there's no way of knowing what quality you're buying, because the way that they rate the quality of cinnamon, it's by how far out on the branch it is, mm-hmm. and you can tell that by how tightly wound the quills are.
And so it's cinnamon is bark, right?
Yeah,
bark. And where is on what part of the tree is the best cinnamon from?
The highest quality cinnamon is the farthest out on the bark.
The tips. Yeah, okay. Is that the newest growth?
It's the newest growth. It's the thinnest bark, but the strongest flavor.
Okay, interesting. It's really interesting. Now onto blends. I think because you're sitting there with five jars in front of you, and I've been curious since I walked into the studio what you have.
All right, so you and I talked today, and you asked me to bring a little bit of Morocco to you.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is my Moroccan hits. I brought five blends, all Moroccan North African. Actually, I'll confess, two of them are my own fanciful concoctions in the style. Mm-hmm. Which I think is totally fair because, you know, Moroccan food's hot right now. But Moroccan food, it doesn't have its own canon like French cooking. It's more like Cajun. It's, it is the melting pot of a lot of different modalities. It's mm-hmm. It draws from the Spanish and from the Middle East and from Indian, and we all know what it tastes like when we taste it, but. It's not like, there's a cordon rouge that says it has to be
right.
done this way.
Right, and it's in that sense, it's a true cuisine in the sense that it's a home-based cuisine rather than a restaurant-based cuisine.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to grab one at leisure. Let's see. Here is one. Oh, my favorite, Chermoula. And, in every book I write lately, I have to have one form of or another of Chermoula in the book. Between Chermoula, Italian-style salsa verde, and Argentine chimichurri,
mm-hmm.
it's really hard for me to be without at least one of those in my fridge at all times. And I was thinking that there should, be a blend. So you've got on here, let's see, you've got smoked paprika, cumin, coriander, garlic, ginger, black pepper, Persian lime.
Mm-hmm.
Chili de arbol, saffron and saffron. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the Persian lime.
So Persian lime, it's actually one of my favorite spices to blend mm-hmm. with. It's one of those things that's not well known but should be because it's such a great spice. The Persian lime first of all, it's a type of lime, but it's a spice. It's picked, it's brined and then sun dried until it's light like a ping pong ball, and then the entire lime. We get the entire whole limes, and we throw the whole lime in the mill.
Mm. So when you talk about it,
when you're trying to get a citrus flavor into a blend, you can get the high tones and a little bit of bitter flavor from the peel. But when you put the whole Persian lime in, mm-hmm. you get the sourness and the fruity flavors, mm-hmm. and it's so much more fulfilling. Persian lime also has. Some dark, broody tones that go with it. Mm-hmm. Part of the process of drying it out, and it's a lovely flavor.
One of the things I like about this is that you tell people what to do to add. You have them adding some chopped herb, a cup of chopped herbs, cilantro and mint. You say fresh garlic, juice of lemons, olive oil. Right on. It's not identical to mine. Mine's a little bit different, but that's okay. I mean, that's fine. There's so many versions of Chermoula that are really good. And for people that are a little bit afraid of filling, say, their spice cabinet with a lot of different things, this would be really, really great for them.
Yeah. And what I like about that blend is it's very layered. You get the smoky flavor coming off the smoked mm-hmm. pimenton. You get the you've got the citrus flavors. You've got the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to make mine for you sometime, and we're going to compare.
Good.
And then you've got harissa.
Yeah.
Which is also, most of the harissa you see is in a tube
right.
or a jar. So it's already, and you thin it with either stock or lemon juice or olive oil. So this is, I think this is the first dried harissa blend I've seen. So let's see what you got. You've got chilies, salt, caraway, coriander, cumin, dried mint?
Yeah, peppermint.
Dried mint. And then you tell people to add boiling water? Ah, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, as you probably know, to make a harissa, you begin with dried chilies,
mm-hmm.
and then you rehydrate them using boiling water.
Yeah.
This is it's just the same thing in a different order.
Cool. Can't wait to try this.
And you know, this way, the harissa is one of those spice blends. I keep it right by the stove.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to add heat, you know, rather than have to pick which chili you want, it's a nice, balanced, very hot blend that brings heat,
mm-hmm.
but a little bit gentler, in a little bit gentler way.
Yeah, it's not that focus, sear your palate of some of the hotter chilies. It's really, it can be very hot, but it's got so much nuance. I love harissa.
It should have a lot of nuance. I mean, since it's really a chili blend, so, you know, for ours, you know, this is one where it really shows off the fact that with our chilies, we de-seed them and we stem them before mm-hmm. we mill them. A lot of people don't do that because, you know, you're throwing away 40% of your product
right.
before you even start to mill. But uh-huh. what you get in terms of depth of flavor is...
Greater depth of flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now we have the Ras Al Khaimah. And I know less about this than the others. Will you talk about this one?
Yeah.
I've cooked with it just a little bit, but I don't feel like I know that my way around it that much yet.
So it's the quintessential Moroccan curry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually used in dishes throughout the Middle East. It is there's a lot of variation in how people make their Ras Al Khaimah. In Arabic, the words Ras Al Khaimah mean head of the shop. And so it's supposed to be all of your best spices, all the best spices in the shop.
And it has more sweet dimensions in addition to the savory dimensions.
Extremely aromatic,
mm-hmm.
You know, aromatically sweet and aromatically complex.
Mm-hmm.
you know, but the main flavors in it are you know, turmeric, ginger, cardamom, mm-hmm. you know, you get the picture.
Yeah. You have some fine ginger, too, that you sell.
Yeah.
Just by itself. Really, really good.
Well, a big part of what we do is all about the sourcing and getting the highest quality, best tasting core ingredients. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you and I share a love of simple cooking,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't have your basic ingredients really, really good,
yeah.
It doesn't work. So the Ras Al Khaimah, actually, in tradition, there are versions that include up to 100 different spices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, when I get up to about 10 or 11 different spices, I start getting very nervous and can't imagine how you can really discern between one and the other and try to cut back. And I think this is down to 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And then let's see, what is this one? Here you go. Oh, this I'm curious about. This is one of your original blends, right?
Yes.
It's a Moroccan breakfast spice.
Yeah.
So you have got here, let's see, you tell me, because this is your signature.
Yeah,
it's
really the three main ingredients in it, and the genesis behind the Moroccan breakfast spice was I wanted to find a way that I could get as much turmeric in my breakfast as I could and make it delicious.
That's so funny. And tell people why, in case they haven't heard about this miracle spice.
Yeah, you know, if we ever spend an hour just talking about the health benefits on spices,
yeah.
most of it will be talking about turmeric,
because
most of the data that's out there that's really, really certain
has to do with
curcumin
yeah.
and turmeric.
Yeah.
Curcumin is the biochemical. Active chemical in turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
It is an extremely powerful anti-inflammatory,
mm-hmm.
And probably because of those properties, it's been observed in the laboratory to kill cancer cells. There are medical doctors, not just holistic doctors,
mm-hmm.
medical doctors.
Yeah.
Who are recommending it to help ward off Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's, too.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know it's supposed to be very good for people in the early stages of arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be very good for anyone with any joint
yeah.
difficulty, because it reduces inflammation. Well, I'm way interested in this because, you know, so I've had every... every virus that has come around this year.
So,
I've had it.
So this blend, the main three ingredients are all three extremely powerful anti-inflammatories: the turmeric, ginger, and Ceylon cinnamon. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I've got a few harmonizing ingredients in there. There's a little bit of clove, and I can't remember exactly what else, but that's really what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been making myself a drink to get my energy back after all these heinous viruses, and somebody gave me a big bag of lemons. So I do hot water, local honey, lemon juice, and then I put in turmeric. Your ginger, but now I'm out of it. Fresh ginger, if I have it. Black pepper, and sometimes a pinch of cinnamon and a clove of garlic. I drink that in the morning, and it definitely perks me up.
And so you know the connection between black pepper and turmeric.
Yes, you need black pepper to absorb turmeric,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yes.
It increases the bioavailability of turmeric by
10%. I think you're the one who told me that.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's you.
That's, again, you know, we really don't like to give people advice on health benefits of spices because we're not doctors.
Right.
You know, we're here for culinary purposes, but this one I'm sure about.
Yeah, and there's been so much written about it in just the last year and a half. I get stuff about it every week in email, and you know it tastes really good. So there's that added benefit. We're going to take one more musical break here in Mouthful. We'll be right back.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a kind of the deep forest green, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. I want no crested plough, without no seam or needle. And then grows the child of a fountain. She'll be a true love of mine. Strands and polishes a fan, she'll be a true love of mine. Tell her to reap it in a sickle-mill of blazing in scarlet battalion. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Scarborough Fair.
It's Mouthful. It's all about spices and a few herbs. Tonight we've got one more of the local blends. This is coriander sumac and sea salt. Tell me about this blend. Can I open it?
Oh, please. Okay. This is following the theme of, sometimes it's the simple things that are better. This is a very, very simple blend. That's all that's in it. It's coriander, sumac, and sea salt.
It smells really sweet.
Yeah. That's coming off the sumac. We have a great sumac. and this is, you wanted to talk Moroccan. And, when we talk Moroccan, so often what we think about are tagines and curries and spices. But really it's got a core Middle Eastern backing to it. And, this is a much more purely savory kind of a blend that could be added to anything. I use the coriander sumac just as a general, throw it into anything kind of thing. Yeah.
Because what I have is za'atar, which is, I guess, what, sumac, sesame seeds, and salt.
Toasted sesame seeds, sumac, and herbs, primarily.
Yeah, maybe sometimes some oregano, I guess. Yeah. But I bought that so long ago, I need to replace it. and we should say, here in the United States, or I guess North America, we have poison sumac. You can't go to a North American sumac tree and make your own.
No.
The sumac, it's a berry from North Africa, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, there's no relationship. They're not even
right,
the same.
Right. Yeah. Not that. Yeah. So totally different. Totally different thing. Okay. So that's your, that's the little Moroccan medley.
That's it.
That we have. back to the store. What are you finding people want? What's really popular right now?
Well, first thing, what's startling is that what people buy in a store is so different from what people buy in a farmer's market.
Really?
And part of it is you're getting, I think, a different mindset.
Sure.
In the store, a much, much larger percentage of what people are buying are for gifts. We sell lots and lots of gift boxes and gift sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the standards, I'll say at the store right now, grilling rubs are huge.
Yes, that's what I figured.
But at the farmers market, I think you have a more sophisticated bench of people who want to explore. They're looking for something that they've never heard of, that they've never tried. So it is very different what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And with only a month's data, we're still crunching the numbers and trying to figure out
just
what
a month.
It means.
But it's exceeded your expectations, right?
It has. Yeah, yeah. It's. I would guess we're a good 20-25% ahead of what we thought we'd be doing already in the first month, and we think it's just a matter of time when people learn over there that more will be coming.
Uh-huh. That's great. Let's talk a little bit about herbs. We touched on them just a little bit. I'm going to lean over and pick up this whiny dog. Okay, Lark. Okay. She's not a princess, really. Anyway, tell me about the herbs, how you work with herbs. You're working with them dried, right?
Yeah. Everything we do is dry processed,
right.
And has been dried. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I share a fundamental belief that fresh herbs are 1,000 times better.
Mm-hmm.
But there are...
You can't put them in a blend for...
That's right. And the idea behind a blend is to try to encapsulate an entire new flavor in one jar, which is very helpful and convenient and easy for a lot of people to work with. So how do you work with herbs? It's not that much different than a spice in that you begin.
It's all just balancing and.
You start, and I think about it a lot, like you would think about writing music. You begin with, what are the thematic elements, the points you want to get across, and then you come in and say, how do I build harmonies around them?
Mm-hmm. What about procuring them? I assume you're going to different parts of the world for the dried herbs. So one of my favorite herbs, sage.
Okay.
Where do you get sage?
I'm not sure. I can't remember where our sage comes from right now. What we do is we taste a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We get samples. We taste everything, and there's a huge variation. And this herbs is one area where we can't find in many cases the quality that we want to be able to provide in organic.
Oh,
so yeah. You know, we can get it untreated, but we can't get it all the time organic. There's a lot that's being done in the Middle East right now, where in certain countries like in Egypt, where they know they can get a premium price for selling organic herbs. They grow the herbs, they underwater them, and they sell them as organic at a premium price. But if you actually taste them, there's almost no flavor to them. So,
you know, I have found that even at certain farmers' markets. You know, sometimes I feel really bad. I feel like somebody's going to have a hidden camera and take a picture of me buying conventional, say, cilantro.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is, but I want cilantro to taste like cilantro. Sometimes organic cilantro does. Sometimes it tastes like nothing.
Right.
So it's interesting that it's a ubiquitous, I guess it's a fairly widespread problem.
Yeah. And it's so the flavor's always got to be the king.
Yeah, it has to.
Something else I can say on herb, but I can't remember what it was.
That's okay. I was going to have another question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You have a spice club.
Yes.
You know, that I gave a year membership to my son-in-law, who just loved it.
I'm glad to hear that.
He just loved it. So talk about the spice club.
So the spice club, the intent behind the spice club is a way that you will get, whether you want it or not, because you've already paid for it, it's going to come, sent to your door four times a year now. It started out six times, but we're doing it four times a year now. A spice that we pick out, and we pick out the spice to try to come up with something that you wouldn't normally come across. It's really kind of a challenge to send you something that's new and different. You know, I don't know if we still call it this. Originally, we called it the Spice Adventure Club, because the whole idea is, you know, for someone that wants to be sent something new to try.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you get is that spice. Sometimes we'll pair it with a blend that we make using that spice to give you an idea of how
so
it works.
So you get a single spice.
Yeah. And then we'll give you a lot of information about where it comes from, how it's used, locally in the area where it's grown, and then recipes on how to use it. And, it's kind of a cook's challenge.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know my son-in-law, who loves to cook, and he's a good cook, he had so much fun with it.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
It just ended, because, his birthday's in May, so it's over now. If he wants to continue, he's got to do it on his own.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about the location. We want people to be able to find you.
It's pretty easy to find. We're right on Main Street, if you know downtown Tiburon.
So you have to get, 101, you take the Tiburon exit and you go east.
Exactly. Yeah. And you go out Tiburon Boulevard all the way till you're about to drive into the water, but you take a right on Main Street.
There you go. And then you look for a parking place.
Yeah. And there's some street parking. Most of the street parking on Main Street is on Ark Row, which is right in front of where we are. There's a lot just directly behind us. So it's not that bad to find a place to park or to pay for it. You can get there pretty easily.
Yeah. The ferry's right there, too.
Yeah, we get a lot of traffic through from that come in from San Francisco on the ferry.
Yeah, it's a great ferry ride. It's really fun.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's a homecoming. I grew up in Tiburon, so...
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, well, that's nice. I wondered why Tiburon.
Yeah, I grew up in Tiburon. I've always had a soft spot for it, and particularly for Ark Row. It's such a lovely place.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has a good feel. One thing I learned in my life is to trust your instincts and trust your gut, and my gut just always feels good there. I like the feel of it.
Nice. Yeah, I love Tiburon. My former agent, literary agent, lives there. When I do a signing at the store, I'm hoping she comes by.
Well, we'll make sure of it.
And then tell us about your website, too. We've got plenty of time. We've actually got 7 minutes left,
okay.
So we've got lots of time in radio.
Yeah, so we're on localspicery.com. And on the website, we have everything you've ever seen at the farmer's market, everything you'll see at the store. One thing you can only buy now on the website is if you want to get refills, which is our product in a sealed plastic bag versus a jar.
Oh, so like you can have this jar here, little glass jar, and then you can get baggies.
Yeah, to refill it.
Ah, but that's only on the website?
Yeah, the refills.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to do both, but you know, at the farmer's market to try to carry two of everything, and
sure.
it's just too complicated.
Yeah. Well, I just emptied my jar of your cumin. And I thought, I looked at it, and I thought, I'm not going to throw away the jar. I'm going to keep the jar. So now I know why.
Yeah. Coming out to the car afterwards, I've got some for you.
That's okay, cool. Your cumin is really strong. It's really fragrant. So aromatic and full-flavored. It's without a doubt the best cumin I've ever had. Why?
So this comes down to the question you ask a lot, which is about sourcing.
Sourcing, yeah. And, but I mean, what? Who did you find that is growing such amazing cumin?
Our cumin comes from India. It's organically grown. Like I said, we taste a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we taste a lot. We get certificates of analysis on everything, which frequently will tell you what the percentage of essential oils in,
mm-hmm.
which you know can give you an indication in advance of how powerful the flavor will be.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be powerful in flavor, but you also want it to be right.
Yes.
And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, we will favor buying spices from where they're supposed to come from, you know, like get your cumin from India or get your tarragon from France.
Mm-hmm.
The terroir makes a huge difference a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
But what it really comes down to is to taste everything and mm-hmm. And be very critical and you know, be bold enough to say no when you got to say no.
Yeah.
You mentioned our ginger. You know, we went through.
Ginger is so good.
We've rejected so many gingers because there's you know, a lot of dry ginger. It gets bitter. Our ginger, it's organically grown. It's from China, but ginger's supposed to come from China.
Mm-hmm.
and it, you know, we have only been able to get that flavor from Chinese ginger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sweeter, it's lemonier, it's just better. So it's mm-hmm. it's a question of dedicating the time and making sure you get it right. Like we said, it's all about the product. It's about getting the simple things right. And
how much traveling do you either have to do or get to do? Have you been to China yet?
Haven't been to China.
Okay.
I've been throughout the Middle East, throughout Europe. We've been planning a trip to India where mm-hmm. we intend to spend the most of the time
mm-hmm.
Sampling black peppers, single source, single farm.
Mm-hmm. Follow and then you have to go to Malaysia.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's such a big planet, but there's so much to do.
You have to go to Malaysia for the best black pepper in the world. And they actually have a new name.
Okay.
The company, oddly, it was called for a very long time the Pepper Marketing Board, and it was just they produce, and now they've changed the name. I have all this at home, and I'm going to put you in touch with people because you gotta go. And it's actually it's an amazing trip. I've been to India, hardest traveling I've ever done. Really, really difficult. It won't be as hard for you because you're male, but a woman alone in India quite a long time ago. But it's also just, you know, things are distance.
Yeah.
You know, India is huge. So when I was doing my research on black pepper, initially I chose Malaysia because to get to the best black pepper was a 12-hour ride.
Yeah.
And I've been on 8-hour rides in India, and I don't want to do it anymore. But
so when we go, it'll be me and my wife and partner. We do everything together.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, the two of you, you guys will be fine.
Yeah, but even you know, I've talked to a number of people about India, and even people from India say, don't drive, get a driver.
Oh,
yeah.
Get a driver, but get a driver with really good recommendations.
Yeah,
really good recommendations. But when you go to Malaysia, because the state of Sarawak is not all that huge, you actually, you know, there's the Borneo, Trans-Borneo Highway, and it takes you right to all the pepper-producing regions pretty readily. And even in Kuching, which is the capital of Sarawak, which is where the Malaysian pepper is based, you can see a lot. And I think that's where, I think it's there that they actually conduct the business. I was in the office with Bill Penzi when he was buying 40 tons, and it's now all gone, and he didn't get more. So when are you going to?
We were going to go this fall, but I don't think it's going to work right now because of what we've got going with the store and other things.
Yeah, and you're coming in on a holiday season, so should probably be really great for you.
Yeah.
And speaking of, what are your hours?
11 to 6, open every day except for Monday.
Closed on Monday?
Closed Monday.
Good, you have a day off. Or you have a day not going into the store. Because it's just you and your wife, right?
Actually, I have my daughter's helping out now. She does farmers markets, and she works at the store and works at the shop, and we have one full-time employee at the mill now.
Oh, great. So, okay, I was worried about you, wondering if you ever slept. How many farmers markets are you attending?
We do Sanderfell, we do Sebastopol, we do Oakland Grand Lake, and that's it right now. Okay.
Does it say on your on your web page,
yes,
when we can see you at a farmer's market?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. So once again, that's localspicery.com.
Exactly.
And we are out of time. It is Nick Davarin. And your wife, we've been calling her your wife, Evelyn, lovely woman. She was here last time. She's minding the shop today, maybe getting home just about now. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
It was really great.
Appreciate the invitation. Thanks so much.
You bet, and I can't wait to see the store. So another yummy episode of Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming. Meet me back here next Sunday at 6 for another yummy episode here on KRCB. Have a great week.
Grapes are covering the grassland. They're buying up for family farms. They're selling out. Who can blame them? Wine's a cash crop growing strong. And in the fields of Pendleton Valley, buildings sprout up like new sown seeds. Now they call it Telecom Central. Is what consumers need. I am the hand that rocks the cradle. I am the voice that sings this song. I am the one called local color, salt of the earth, but not for long. Take a look, 'cause I'll go. The gamblers in this brand new Gora, they're moving in. This is progress, we ain't got far. I am the hand that rocks the cradle. I am the voice that sings this song. I am the one called local color. Salt of the earth and not for long. Take a look, 'cause I'll be gone. This land once open and free. Well, they got pictures in the museum of local color that used to